be awful to be the last panel between you and cocktail hour, wouldn't it be? Wait a minute. That is me. This is a publisher-focused panel, and I think it is going to be very interesting in that for some of the agency people that remain, hearing how some of the very best in the business think about how they operate their FM stations, both over the air and digitally, and maybe there's a point of intersection there where there could be an ad opportunity. So hopefully, in hearing their stories, some commerce could actually come of that. This is who's out here, so let's just dive in the interest of time. So, digital. I'd like each of you to comment a bit about how you view the digital opportunity, and do you see it strategically more as an opportunity to have more and deeper conversation with existing FM listeners, or do you view it a bit more as an opportunity to reach a new audience that you can't reach with towers? So, Luba.
So I start.
Please. Well, who's playing hurt, by the way? He's quite ill, so give him credit for being here.
Well, I'm coming from Czech Republic, and we're operating two of the largest FM radio stations, Europe 2 Frequency 1. So we have pretty big reach of the audience. In terms of digital, we're looking in the radios more as a brand. That means digital brings extension of a different content. That means when you're listening to a radio, that means that you're pretty much like following audio content, following of the music offers that the station is giving to you, the same way you're following on Facebook or on Twitter. It's a different social media. So digital gives us a wider extension and wider connection with the users. Besides that, we're running a smart radio service that is something between traditional radio and something between on-demand. We call it a U-radio, and we see there a growth, especially in mobile. That means that users download the app, they personalize the stream, and this way we attract newer, different audience.
You're attracting new listeners.
So we are attracting new listeners, yes.
Because in Germany, I think it's not often the case. Usually you're replacing existing listeners and not adding new one, except some music stations who can grow out of their license region, like KSFM Berlin is an urban station, or a dance station like Sunshine Live. But in most cases, it's more or less a replacement. So we're not really adding radio listeners. We might add some listeners outside of our license region, but in the end, it's a kind of an equal number of listeners.
So you're adding, I want to make sure that I'm understanding you correctly, you're adding some time spent listening through a different, kind of opening up a different day part than you get terrestrially, but you're also extending your reach a little bit?
Well,
what's the balance?
It depends on the perspective. As radio in general, you're not adding listeners, but from the perspective of a specific station, of course, you're adding listeners because you broaden your coverage, basically.
So you know, for us, it's listening of the long tail. Because if you look at the genres that we have that are the top 10 listened in the service, it's, you know, the first one is pop, the second one is rock. It's obvious, but within the top 10, spoken word makes it being like number 8. So audio, we spoke a lot about music, but there is a lot about spoken word listening, jokes, listening about the theater plays. It's not about music.
Ali, how about you with Carnival?
For us, it's a combination of both the long tail as well as adding additional listeners to our existing stations. I run the largest FM radio broadcaster in Turkey. And when I joined there about 3 years ago, we were not existent on the digital space at all whatsoever. And we had four brands that were actually very antiquated, very dusty, and did not have any digital presence. What we ended up doing was aggregating all of our stations under one brand, which was a digital first and digital, primarily digital brand called Carnival. That was helpful to us because when we went to the advertisers as Super FM or Metro FM, we went to a digital advertiser and said, we'd like to get some of your ad dollars. They said, you're a radio station, go talk to my radio guys. But when we aggregated everything under the Carnival brand and launched a Carnival app, a Carnival service, which became a very popular app within the Turkish market, always in the top five, they said, wow, I know that app, I have that app, you're a digital product, come and tell me more. Mm-hmm. And that we certainly got both the advertisers' attention, but also the listeners' attention. And those dusty old brands, we've seen our two FM radio stations have significantly increased their terrestrial ratings by virtue of being on a leading digital platform and being on all these different apps. So it's been very helpful.
Would it be fair to say or speculate that there is terrestrial discovery because of the Carnival app? So in other words, the old model is people listen to your station, then they may listen to you online as well, whereas people kind of discovered Carnival and then they started listening to...
In the most recent ratings, that since we've had that digital transformation, some of our radio stations have gone from as low as 13th in the ratings to as high as 4th or 5th. In the ratings as a result, because we have not done much else to actually change the landscape other than have that digital presence. But at the same time, we've also launched a number of linear radio stations to try to get at the long tail and to bring in new listeners. We launched a station called Baby Joy, which is aimed at 0 to 2 year olds. We certainly did not have them before. And it's a baby radio station aimed at parents and also at babies. So, you know, we think that there is certainly an opportunity to try to cut things down and get additional listeners in addition to increasing your existing.
Maybe some prenatal pre-roll.
You know what? There is a whole bunch of rockabye baby tunes that are lullabies of AC/DC songs, lullabies of Bob Marley, as well as Beatles, classic music, jazz, and music that parents can listen while they're nursing.
So you're going to see the effect in 20 years from now.
Exactly. You've got to start early.
I feel like I have gone through the looking glass officially. I don't know if it's the cocktail hour or what. That's great. That's absolutely wonderful. Chris, now you deal with a whole range of different publishers across a number of countries. So why don't you talk a little bit about your experience?
Sure. So I think we look at it from a bit of a broader, wider perspective. I think that we see that that definitely digital and online is giving FM listeners, I guess, more of what they love. But at the same time, it's also reaching out to a new audience, but I think it needs to be in the context of both in and out of market.
Right.
I think that in market, particularly in the UK, I think that digital online is definitely giving broadcasters a greater opportunity to engage with their audience. What we do see, though, is we see this when we overlay the stats and the analytics, that historically... FM may be strong through traditionally drive time periods or breakfast, but when we overlay the online and sort of traditional tune-in data, we see a new day part emerging throughout the day. So I think in that context, there's a great opportunity for the broadcasters to continue to be engaging on a deeper level.
That's a great transition. You know, we talked a little bit about big data today in a number of forms and facets. So you have this insight now that you're reaching perhaps a different audience, maybe it's the same audience, at a day part that you ordinarily maybe wouldn't, which is sort of in the 9 to 5 kind of area. So what stats are you looking at that tell you how that business is growing or, you know, hopefully growing? And then most importantly, what do you actually do about it? Okay, so you have an audience between 9 and 5 listening to you digitally. So what? Are you giving them more of what you're doing terrestrially, or are you doing something different to them that's contextual that recognizes that they're likely at work, they're likely on a laptop, or you may know that they're on a mobile or whatever the case may be? So what are we doing to address this newfound opportunity? Why don't we just keep going back this way?
Yeah, well, being not a broadcaster, yeah. It's difficult to go into specifics. I mean, we just see basically from the analytics tools that we have. A lot of our publishers use our Audiometrics analytics platform, and that's tracking basically tune-in data from online listenership. Mm-hmm. And so through the analytics, it's there's a clear view of when these listeners are tuning in throughout the course of the day.
Ali, are you doing something different for this at work type of audience that's growing?
No, when we look at the data that we need to convince advertisers, we're in a very small market, and we're the only player that's actively going after digital ad dollars and trying to build a digital audio market in our market. The challenge there is, if we have to wait for all of our competitors to join the bandwagon and to build the market bigger, it's going to take a long time. In that interim period, obviously we are sourcing some digital ad dollars for audio, but we want to have some incremental revenue as well from other sources. And therefore, the digital buyers are saying, well, you know, what are your page views? What are your unique users? And these aren't the metrics that radio normally uses, right? And we found that we had to go after both ad dollars from the radio budgets using radio data and radio statistics, ranging from, you know, we work with Triton Webcast Metrics, for example, and also from digital buyers by, you know, Comscore and Google Analytics and your traditional metrics, which also meant that we needed to have content that looked at the eyes and not just the ears. So we had to address both sides of it.
Well, that's interesting. So you're not going after terrestrial buyers only, and just because you have an audio-based audience, you are doing video, you're doing display, you're doing promotions, and it's actually going outside of your site too. Why don't you talk about how you distribute some of your content?
Sure. Well, we found a need to have additional content as well. I mean, our ad sales team came to us early on and said, yeah, we're selling audio. Some of that's coming from the digital buyers. They don't often have the audio creative, so we have to create that creative for them. The radio buyers, they've got the audio creative, and they're treating us as an additional radio station on the digital side of our business. It's an additional FM radio station. But if, you know, God, it would be great if we had some video, because there's a lot of money being poured into video today. So how can we add some additional video content and generate views that way? How can we have more news content so that we have better page views, so that we can get more display advertising and sponsorships? We built a team and built a website and content that supported that, ranging from, you know, syndicating news content from BBC for BBC Turkish, because we didn't have a serious news department, right, to creating our own photo galleries and original content video to support the radio services that we had in our service.
Christian, in Germany, which data points are the ones that are most salient to you as you're out trying to commercialize your...
I mean, in Germany, we don't see this 9-to-5 spike, so this is kind of flat.
Work.
It wouldn't work so much, you know, between 9 and 5. But what we see, though, especially on younger stations, is a kind of second prime time, a peak in the early evening hours. So 6 to 10, even 6 to midnight is a kind of second prime time. And we're trying to monetize it. We haven't been able so far, but you see at least there's some significant additional audience of these people listening more in the early and late evening, and I'm sure we are able to capitalize it. But it's hard.
How recent a phenomena is that, and are you trending? What data points are you using to trend that over time?
I think it's not a new trend. It's been on for at least 1 or 2 years. With the growth of online listening in most markets. So it's not a new phenomenon, but it's outside the usual 6-to-6 demo. You usually don't sell advertising, or it's not that easy outside these hours. So it's trickier. But audience is the first step, and ratings is the second, and you can at least measure something.
Lubor, how about you?
I work for the French company, so you measure and report everything, so primarily we report. But seriously, to look in the data, we see the peaks in listening in 8-8. It's different for different stations. 8-8 is for large FM stations in the morning. Then teenagers leave for school, or, you know, the rest has to work. For U-Radio and the younger format radio, we see a second peak in the evening. That's when we look at the, you know, standard radio metrics. But we collect pretty much like all data. We, you know, use webcast metrics, we use Google Analytics, we use official rankings like from local AIB, and we are trying to combine this together to see the trends and to take the feedback. Take the feedback on the content that you're producing that is attractive or it's not attractive. Because, you know, with the online listening, you can see where the users are starting to drop from the listening. That means that they're changing the channels. You can measure it really accurately and take it as a feedback to the program. You can, you know, see the connection between the playlists, because, you know, maybe here we are all music experts, but our audiences are not music experts. They're, you know, tuning into our stations to recommend them what's interesting in the music, and they're going on the sites for the playlist to see the song they liked to play it in, you know, on the site or in radio, Spotify, YouTube, whatever service.
Let's talk about mobile for a second. So we've heard a real range today. We've heard it's heralding a new kind of golden era and a revolution for audio and radio. And then someone said, it's shit, I think is what he said. Where on that continuum do you view mobile? How central is it? Is it just an extension of it, you know, just a different way to consume audio, or is it fundamentally different? And if it's different, what do you do to capitalize on it?
Well, mobile's definitely here. No one can argue with that. But I think it's a bit of an interesting one because I think it really is. There's lots of different variables across different types of markets, different consumption habits, and also the different types of streaming services. So it's difficult to say mobile and give it a specific definition. I think it's broad across depending on which type of service type you're looking at. I think for the on-demand guys, you know, it's definitely, it's obvious that it's the lead consumption platform. Mm-hmm. You've only got to look at on-demand services, their current strategies, and their usage profiles to see that mobile is in the lead there. I think Blinkbox here in the UK, I think it's 90% of their users are basically using the app.
But what does that matter in the sense of what are you doing different for a mobile audience than you would for somebody on a desktop? How is it contextually relevant that they're listening via mobile?
Yeah.
Or is it? Is it just another way to enjoy, you know, radio / audio?
It depends on the environment, I think. I mean, you know, you've got, where is mobile being used?
Right.
Okay, if we look at where people are basically consuming audio, which environments. In those environments, is it a mobile-led environment? Is it a desktop-led environment?
Right.
You know, I think you look at during the day, I think what you'll find is when you look at the data that still a lot of listening is still happening on the desktop. When we look at our aggregated audience stats across Europe for all of our publishers, mobile only comes in, it's just scraping 20%. So, I mean, yes, it's a huge lead when it comes to on-demand, those types of services for traditional FM broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a fair way to go, but growth is definitely still happening. But again, there's a whole bunch of other things, as I said before, around sort of context,
right,
environment. There's a lot of variables that need to be taken into consideration.
Ali, what's your thought on mobile?
Mobile is very important in Turkey. Turkey is one of the most advanced countries with regards to cell phone penetration, mobile phone penetration. They did a technological leapfrog. Most people don't even have landlines. They move straight to one or multiple mobile phone lines, and currently there's about 29% smartphone penetration, which is several points higher than the worldwide average. So we have really tried to structure ourselves as a mobile-first company. Mobile is what we do, first and foremost, and everything else comes afterwards. And we do try to build some context into what we do around mobile. For example, in-car or in-dash integration has not really taken off yet in Turkey. There certainly isn't nearly enough vehicles on the road to warrant that kind of investment. But we have built a car mode for our mobile app, for example, which is for bigger buttons and safer driving, makes it easier to swipe stations and navigate while you're driving. And we have found that advertisers want to be a part of that. So when you move into mobile car mode, you know, the safety is brought to you by Bridgestone. And we find that that contextual element of that mobile experience is also something that's resonating with advertisers as well. So certainly, right now, 54% of our digital listening is on mobile, and the latest Nielsen ratings in Turkey actually show overall radio listening, 30% is taking place on mobile devices, which is a very, very high number globally as well.
It is. Christian.
So mobile is very important and a challenge at the same time. I mean, of course, it has to be at the center of radio station strategy because it's mobile and it's increasing. But at the same time, it's a completely different TSL. If you look at the time spent listening on a desktop or on traditional radio, it's at least an hour. If you look at mobile TSL, it's maybe half an hour, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. So what we are thinking is what impact this has for programming, for instance. Should we change music rotations? should we change repetition of commercials, should we change, and so on. So this has to be an effect on programming and delivering of ads. That's for sure. By maybe adding additional services like an alarm clock or whatever. So I think on the long term we'll be kind of separated programming on two different channels.
Lubor, you have actually a very different kind of situation with your stations. Why don't you talk about your mobile position?
Different, probably two highlights. The first one, with the teenage radio, what we see is that they're shifting to listening to mobile and desktop, just because they in the room they don't have the regular radio device. If you look in the teenage room, you have a laptop. With Windows, then they have an iPad and Android phone. So where should they listen? So they listen on desktop or on mobile. That's number one thing. The second thing is that we ask in our Rager survey, it's not called Rager, but quite similar, if they're listening on mobile. They claim yes, but interesting thing is that 14% of total of listening, they're listening the FM tuner that is built in the mobile device. So the users, they pretty much don't care if it's a mobile device or mobile streaming. Only 2.5% is mobile streaming. So there's quite a difference in this.
Sorry, 2.5% of your mobile audience is streaming as opposed to
of total alternative listening. So 91% of all audiences are listening. In car or in the standard radio, then 14% plus minus are listening on mobile, but the FM tuner that is on the phone, and 2.5% are using the radio app to do the streaming. Why is that? Because the tariffs, the fees are too high, and no one wants to burn it just because of the listening the radio. They have the free channel to do that, to store the data, to do the social stuff around. So maybe hybrid applications that are using the alternative distributions make sense.
Interesting. Do any agency folks have any questions about mobile and the ability to do things that are unique on it or through it as opposed to desktop or obviously over the air? Is there, is that something that is appealing, or is it more just all kind of in the same streaming bucket? I think is kind of an outstanding question. I think the last panelist made a very interesting point where at some point when you parse things so small, you lose scale and it's not that interesting anymore. So anybody have any commentary about mobile before we move on? Going. Yes.
Everyone needs to be familiar about what formats are ultimately going to work on mobile as well. I think that, things
from a standards perspective, you mean, Chris?
I think pre-roll, for example, or pre-stream advertising, it may well be expected if you launched a desktop player on mobile. You've got the propensity to induce sort of high bounce rates, particularly for pre-roll on a mobile device.
Yeah.
As well as supporting companion displays and so on, even if you bake that technology or that ability into your device. If the device is minimized, operating system constraints, in some cases those ads aren't even going to get called. So I think that there's definitely people need to be aware that I think ultimately almost the killer format for mobile is absolutely in-stream as a format versus any of these other formats.
So as interesting as video and display and some of these other things are, the unique selling proposition is very definitely, from your perspective, the audio.
For mobile, absolutely.
Yeah, for mobile.
So I think in-stream, I'd like to call it almost the killer native format for mobile devices.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation about that in the U.S., about audio being the only thing that kind of lives above the fold in a mobile perspective, where it's every audio ad is heard, almost by definition, provided that you're listening. But, there's lots of display that would go completely useless. Ali?
I think for us, one of the keys has always been to focus on the user experience that you have. And mobile, the user experience in mobile is very important. Earlier in the course of the day, the gentleman from TuneIn said that just put your content on our platform, let us handle the distribution, and you guys worry about the content. I actually think that by doing that, you're giving up one of the key levers that a radio station operator can have, which is control around the user experience. We know from Apple, we know from Starbucks, that user experience matters. Mm-hmm. I think that that is something that is important for us to focus on. I mean, if you're a manufacturer of really, really, really good coffee, and you go to Starbucks, Starbucks says, let us sell your coffee for you, let's handle that. You know, how big is your business going to be at the end of the day? So when you think about mobile, I think thinking about the user interface, how you create a compelling experience for the users, and you have to stay on top of the game because they're getting bigger and bigger, and the devices and with more and more capabilities, and ensuring that you're building a great, compelling offering is important to stay ahead of.
Is that part of the dynamic tension with buying audience and buying just sort of ears and people, that you lose some of that, the halo context that audio brands provide? It becomes sort of less differentiated, especially as listeners are kind of promiscuous and they're listening to a bunch of different stations in a market. Do you view that, is that your listener experience, your user experience, so to speak? Is that how you try to elevate your...
In the combination of the audio that you're listening to as well as the interface that you have on the service, on the app, is part of the whole experience. And it's not just the audio that's going through. And you have to focus on both elements of it.
That comes back to sport and spoken word. They do have sort of a different content. And whereas if you're a music-based station, it's really the curation, it's the way the songs are constructed, it's the words in between the songs that really kind of set it apart, right? Yeah. Christian?
I mean, even with music-written station, the DJs are quite important. I mean, today we treated radio a bit like...
No, I'm saying they're critically important, whereas, if you have a soccer game, then you're the only one that has it, presumably, in the market, that's where people are going to listen to.
Even on music station, today we treated radio a bit like a sick brother of a music playlist,
yeah.
But it's much more. I mean, it's music plus curated content plus DJs plus news and so on. So what we can still see, and I'm pretty sure that the audio stream, the radio stream, is still a compelling product. And it's not only the customer experience, not only the what you add on a mobile app or website,
yeah.
But it's the actual audio content that is quite compelling.
And hasn't digital, in many respects, kind of dimensionalized the station brand? We're able to communicate with two-way communication. You have websites, you have blogs, you have social, you have all kinds of things that your station could do to add personality, not kind of take away from it.
Definitely, and it's an increased competition. And this, as you said, I don't repeat it, but people are loyal and they listen to many other stations. This, at the same time, helps us creating an even better radio station because they're used to much broader playlists on other devices. They're much more mature, even younger
sure.
audiences. So this actually makes the product better.
Yeah, they're savvier, more sophisticated in a lot of ways. Lubor.
There are different types of listeners that we attract. The P1 listeners, they usually install your app and they're listening through your app. And then you have just listeners that are, jumping around the stations. They listen to you for half an hour and then they turn into new stations, simply like in the radio. That means that they're, scanning what's going on. And apps like TuneIn are a good product for such users. But, it's good for us to be on the platform, on all possible platforms, but convert those listeners into those P1s that we have within our application. With this, it's everyone wants to fine-tune the user experience. And in a way, we're missing for the radio, like unified player. Every radio station wants to, make it somehow like unique and I would say like user and attractive. That means the play button is sometimes on the top, sometimes it's on the bottom, sometimes it's small, sometimes it's large. So this like unification, I want to say into simple YouTube player, which is just plays the stream, would help the industry and the experience to have maybe even more standard advertising formats, because it would be way easier to buy the one layout than, you know, 50, 60 different, you know, layouts.
So standard seems to be a recurring theme. We have a sort of a measurement standard that's been brought up a couple times. We have the add unit type standard and actually maybe the player standard, just to make it, from the user perspective, you're saying, just to make it intuitive?
From the user perspective.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you look in radio apps, they look totally different. So if you want to jump around, as you know, and there are definitely users that are, you know, switching around, they get probably completely lost.
Last question. Chris, do we need more standards? Are the standards appropriate?
I mean, generally for advertising, for audio, I think we're getting there with the implementation of Dust as a standard for ad delivery between platforms. So I think, you know, that's going to take us a long way to where we need to get. I think, at least here in the UK, things like UK Radio Player, for example, is standardising sort of the playback mechanism for desktop environments. Really moving towards you know, standardisation around supporting companion display formats and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of good work that's being done there, and UK Radio Player is you know, beginning to really set a benchmark and be licensed in other markets. So I think that's a good sign. Behind the scenes, from talking about user experience on mobile, you know, from a more of a pure technology perspective, I think things around protocols, there's improvements. So the actual streaming protocols themselves in the US, it's a protocol called HLS is quite prevalent, which was developed by Apple and provides a much optimized sort of streaming experience, reduces dropouts when sort of moving between different cell networks. You know, creates a better user experience for the consumer as well. So I think sort of standards around the actual ads and formats and that side of things I think is moving in the right direction. I think there's still work to be done perhaps on the technology side, particularly around streaming to make it a better experience.
Ali, do we need more standards? Are the lack thereof a limiting factor for your business in Turkey?
Maybe to repeat what I said earlier, I mean, I think you need standards along measurement. And for to build a common currency and a single language that can be tradable. However, when I still find that things such as the UK Radio Player and any standardization around the listening experience and the player itself is a limitation to an advantage that to a lever that a radio station can have to try to do better than their competitors. If you invest in good programmers and invest in good UI designers and you treat them and pay them as much as you do your top presenters in your radio station, you can build a competitive advantage over your competitors, and why give that up?
Sure.
So that type of standardization is something that I wouldn't want to see in my market, but definitely along measurement is an area where standardization is important.
Christian?
I totally agree. I think the most important standard is the rating standard. And at least for Germany, this is quite a new standard. It was introduced earlier this year. But I think this is the foundation for everything. So a standard is a very good thing in this case.
Good. Lubor?
Well, you know, of course, one size doesn't fit all. But, you know, you have to somehow, you know, have the similar environment that you move around. So.
Great. We are nearly back on schedule. So any questions for this group of august panelists before we move to our concluding remarks from, I think, Kurt? And by the way, thank you to Kurt and Jennifer and Brad and everybody for, I think this has been the, I think I've been to, I don't know, 10 or 12 reigns, and I think this has definitely been the most productive one. Great panelists, great conversation. So thank you for that. Any questions before we move along? I hear glass tickling ice, or maybe that's just me. Anyone? Thank you so much.